Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Seems that it's not there's no advantage to explaining the Buddhist jokes to the general audience. You either get it or you don't. Because when you try it, it just gets worse as you explain it. So then, yes. So page 64, chapter 11, Symptoms of Condition and Liberated Souls. Sri Krishna continued. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, well-wisher, and friend, I shall now speak to you the most confidential knowledge. Please hear as I explain these great mysteries to you. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, I will speak to you something not revealed to others. It is said, because you are submissive, by the mercy of the gurus, you know all matters and truth. The guru should speak the secret to the disciple who has affection for the guru. Srimad Bhagavatam 118. Oh, okay, so this is the opening for the next chapter. I was going to say then. Sorry, it's too confidential. Okay, conclusion. Even if someone has studied or even taught all the different Vedic literatures, if he has not developed pure attraction to the service of the personality of Godhead, he has accomplished nothing beyond his own labor. Like you see in the modern world, people, especially like these scholars, they work so hard, produce so many things, and no one really cares. I remember what was the top exactly, but this husband and wife spent their whole life making this particular, like a dictionary or something. Some kind of thing that had, or it was like an encyclopedia that had all these definitions of all these things. They'd worked their whole life. I think he had even died, and there was a little work left, and the wife had brought it to the point where it was finished. But who will care, right? When they started to write it, it may have had some validity in the, you know, the Indian community. But now it's with time, who cares now? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that if you're not a devotee, you put in all this effort. Other than the effort you put in, that's the only gain you get from it on the material platform. You don't actually get more.
Even their own circle doesn't respect them.
Yes, that happens because it changes. Because if you're working in a non-devotional environment, it's speculative, so it always changes. And one, you have the aspect of the Muni, so whatever you think, the other guy has to think different just because you said this. If you say up, they have to say down, or left, or right, or forward, or backwards, or, you know, oblique, you know, just to be really avant-garde, right? You know, just, so that's the whole problem, is just, the only benefit you get is the effort you put in. That's the thing. Yeah.
It's a hard pill for people to swallow, isn't it? That, you know, whatever you do without Krishna, it's just zero.
Yes, it is. For the karmis, we don't really have to tell them that. But the devotees should be aware of it. But even then, sometimes it's thought, no, these things will make Krishna consciousness better. But they won't. The thing becomes better. It's just like saying, oh, but if we put ornaments, then Krishna will become more beautiful. No, he beautifies the ornaments. Like that. So, Due to the influence of the material modes of nature, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated. Right? Because you can say, oh, but no, he's on the liberated platform. Yeah, but he never becomes liberated. He never becomes conditioned. He never becomes liberated. He only, by the influence and identification, then he acts in that way. And so, depending on how they act, that's how we treat them. But factually, the soul can't be conditioned or liberated. It's always in its natural state of transcendence. Right? But we don't identify that way, so we don't act that way. Does that make sense? Or too early after lunch? Or
so, again, the question would be is like, if the soul is eternally transcendental, that means that, you know, as far as our identity is concerned, simply we're misidentifying, therefore, in a sleeping, dormant state.
Yeah.
But actually, our real existence is going on perpetually, but we're just not aware of that.
Yes. Means it's not that, you know, we're there in Krishna's pastimes and having a great time and we're over here, we're not. It means that the soul itself is transcendental because it's situated in Krishna. How can it be otherwise? Because the external energy is an energy of the Lord, but it's consciousness that places you wherever you are. Does that make sense? Being in a position's not where you are by location, it's what your consciousness is. So Krishna, wherever he is, he's always in the transcendental position because of his consciousness. Right? He's always conscious of everything, so he can't be illusioned. So even if he's performing his pastimes within the Mahatattva, still he's not within the material world. Neither are the liberated living entities. In this we mean those who are acting in that way. They're not. They may physically be here, but they're not here because it's all Krishna. So how does it? Where does it matter where you are? So these are just a little bit, more esoteric kind of. One may apply the terms bondage and liberation only if one remembers that the living entity is eternally a transcendental fragment of the personality of Godhead. Right? So if that's remembered, then you can talk about bondage and liberation. That's why we see in Dasamul, it first describes the living entity. Then it describes the conditioned soul and then the liberated soul. Right? Because you always have to see those two positions in the context of the living entity being the part and parcel of the Lord. Does this make sense? I never got an answer. Is this too close after lunch, or it's just one of those Warsaw moments, or, you know, Warsaw syndrome? Something is said philosophically, but no one's ever heard of it, so the look on their face is if you had just given a whole lecture in Swahili or something, and they didn't understand a word you're saying. That particular look, it's in its, how you say, most perfect manifestation in Warsaw. Other places you get it, but the look there is just so much more impressive.
Yes. In Australia, it's called the stunned mullet look.
The stunned?
Mullet. A mullet's a fish.
Oh, stunned mullet.
Yeah, so when you put an explosive into the water and blow the fish just... get stunned.
Okay, stunned mullet. Yes, stunned, so that's it. It's a stunned mullet moment. That's it. Exactly. So, see, they've even taken it a step further. The Aussies know it exactly. Is that an Aussie one or is that an Ocker one?
You could call it both. It's Ocker is the extreme Aussie.
Yeah. But I'm just saying your general Aussie uses that or only... Yeah. Only it's more of a broad accent...
Average Australian will use it, but more frequently here, you're more okay. Stan mullet, mate.
Yeah, that's Stan mullet, mate. Okay. Yeah, once on the forum I was using these terms and stuff, they didn't know what I was talking about. You know, and they were all Australian. Yeah. And then after class, one of the devotees, I think Gokul, you know, has been there for a long time. He says, how do you know this stuff? because in the 70s, 80s, the Aussies would come up, you know, to Mayapur, and then when they would come, they would love to talk in, you know, all this strine. And so then you just pick it up from there. But I guess nowadays no one speaks strine. So, yeah. Yes, sir.
I was thinking, actually, it sounds very similar how Krishna gives instructions to the Arjuna. He says, because you're not envious to me, you're my friend, then I will reveal to you. So it's the exact same thing.
Yes, that's why it's mentioned as a Gita. So yeah. It's Uddhava Gita, then the Kapila Gita, and that, so it's the same thing. Because you see, Devahuti, because of her affection and that surrender and everything, then this knowledge is revealed. So you see there's that common point, is that desire to know, that submissive inquiry, and then the actual deliberation to apply it. So that combination, that's what then makes the whole process work very well. And even Krishna in the Gita mentions that, because you're my devotee, therefore. But, yes.
Maybe that the blank look is because this knowledge that we are liberated, at the same time we're not real acknowledging it. So this, how does this apply in our life? And the mind sort of plays with the idea that maybe in the 11th canto there's some kind of a formula for skipping from sadhu sangha to prem using this particular new technique that we're hearing.
No, this is a symptom of someone who's already on that platform. So it's just a matter of understanding that, because then if we think that we're conditioned, then we start identifying with all the upadis. But the point is we're not. And the only reason that we're functioning is because we're identifying with these. So if we just stop identifying, then it changes the whole game. It changes the whole paradigm. So it's this liberated position is a different perspective of looking at things. So that's what's being given here, is what's the lifestyle, what is all that of that kind of person. So they just see it differently. So all these opportunities where people disturb you, deal with you improperly, unjustly, then it doesn't affect, because it's not actually about them. Because somebody's getting upset with you. Are they getting upset with you, the soul? They're getting upset with you as a conditioning. You know? Does that make sense?
So they're
talking about that. So you can actually be an observer of that and be unaffected by that. Does that make sense? And so then you don't have to be disturbed by it. But understanding that that's there, then one would look at seriously on, okay, I'm applying myself, I'm identifying here, I'm trying to get this done. There's so many obstacles, people don't understand, and then like this. But if you step back from that, then you'll find that the platform they're coming from is you know, has meaning, but at the same time as maybe you have some things there. But it's just a matter of what's going to work in the situation and what's best for Krishna. Rather than who's right, who's wrong, this is right, that's wrong. Does that make sense? So there's no ego involved. And so it takes on a very, very different kind of flavor. So that's what we're talking about. Because if that's there, then it removes all the things of being a victim, being wronged, that there is, you know, moral right, moral wrong, all these different things. No, it's a matter of what's Krishna conscious, what's pleasing to Krishna. Because the point is, we have to remember, is that morality comes from devotional service. Right? And so you could say, no, but there's universal morality. It says, is it universal? Because we say universal, but it only applies to you and your group of friends. You know, however far you take that. And outside of that, it may not apply. So then you're dealing with an aspect that my conditioning is the standard, rather than Krishna sets the standard. Right? So that becomes very dangerous, because then we'll try to apply that Krishna consciousness can't function unless my moral codes are addressed. But our moral codes may be correct, but they may not be correct also. Or they may be technically correct, but the attitude's wrong. Right? Or the attitude may be good, but they're technically wrong. You know what I'm saying? There's so many variables that one can't make an absolute statement unless it's based on Shastra given by the Acharyas. Then you can say, this is right. You know what I'm saying? But it'll be, no, this is right. But why is that right? It's right in the modern society for certain political, economic purposes. Does that make sense? And so then there's always going to be a problem. So the liberated jiva, in spite of being within a material body, because of the remaining reactions of his past activities, right? Some prarabdha karma. Because if there's not something remaining, you won't have a body. So to perform activities, you need a body. So there must be some remnants of his past activities. Otherwise, you won't have a body. Does that make sense? So it's not a fault. It's just enough that you can function. Yes?
Another point is that we still having difficulties to separate sin from the sinner, not to mention this level of discussion when we see the soul separated from the body. And especially, I mean, for others we can see it somewhat, but for ourselves it's like one entity. We can't really do that. So this level of discussion is quite high.
Oh, okay.
Maharaj, if one doesn't understand that he is the part and parcel of Krishna and discusses the terms bondage and liberation, then what is the drawback?
If one doesn't understand
that one is a part and parcel of
that one's part and parcel of Krishna and you discuss liberation, because then where will that liberation place you if you're not part and parcel of Krishna? Where is liberation?
Yeah, for them, liberation will be just merging in the Brahman.
Yes, so that's why there's no advantage.
Okay, because that is temporary, so...
Yeah,
okay.
It'll be temporary.
Yes.
Because if you're talking liberation, you're talking eternal, and anything lesser than eternal is temporary.
Yes.
So even if it's a long time for us in the material world, it's going to be... from the eternal point of view, it's not that long.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you.
Like, let's say somebody disappears for a few hours. Right? You know, you see them in the morning, they disappear, you don't see them till evening. Right? Does that make sense? So, how many 3/4 of a second is that?
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds and hundreds of thousands. So that's lifetimes of Brahma. You understand? So within that thousands of lifetimes of Brahma, someone is so-called liberated for, you know, 5, 10, 20 of those, and then goes back into the material nature. You know, then what's the point? How is that liberated?
Because the general Hindus, they do not have an idea of this particular point.
No, because they don't see his connection with the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. But real liberation means then you go back to Godhead. Right? And then they said, oh, there he is. Yeah. Okay. The liberated jiva, in spite of being within a material body because of the remaining reactions of his past activities, does not become disturbed by the happiness and suffering of the body. He sees such bodily experiences in the same way that a person who has just awakened from a dream sees his dream experiences. Right? So when you just wake up from a dream, then you can think about them. But the point is it's a dream. It's not real. You know, so that we think that I'm this body, I have this, I have that, I'm, you know, all these different identities. Those aren't actually real. Because the soul is just serving a Krishna. Right? Because you see here, the liberated point just pulls you out of the material world and establishes you as a servant of Krishna. It hasn't been discussed about the positive going forward into that a specific situation in the spiritual world. Right? That's a different discussion. This is just not being situated within the material, being established in the spiritual. Is that,
yes.
Yeah? Okay. On the other hand, although the conditioned living entity is by nature not the enjoyer of the happiness and misery of the body, he imagines himself to be the enjoyer of his bodily experiences, just as a person in a dream imagines his dream experiences to be real. Right? Sometimes in the dream, things are there, and then you wake up, and you're feeling the emotions that were happening in the dream, when actually it's a dream. Right? Yeah. With full determination, one should properly understand the identity of the soul and give up false identification with his material body. He may then offer his heart at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, the reservoir of all love, and attain real peace. By the mercy of the spiritual master, he began to follow the paths set out by the Mahajanas and became... and becomes actually perfect in realization of his own true identity. So when you have that determination that this is not, then by Krishna's grace you can understand, then following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, you can actually function in that way. Right? So when one has that determination, then Krishna will reveal. But now, as it said before, even if you don't have all this knowledge, you just have that mood of service to Krishna, following the order of the Guru, you'll get the same thing. But the point is if we're not doing the one or the other in that, then by having this, then we may, from this angle, get determined. That's the idea of the different discussions, is so that we may, in some way or another, be inspired to be determined to be Krishna conscious. And then by Krishna's grace, we become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, we just continue to be steady in our service, it will happen also. Right? Because at some point, as we get purified, then we'll start to take these things more seriously and it'll work. But there's always the thing that possibly you may take it seriously now. Does that make sense? So you try everything. So, yeah? Okay. So now, chapter 12, beyond renunciation and knowledge. Right, so this is now that very confidential that Krishna says he's going to speak. Pratigya. By associating with pure devotees, one's attachment to material sense gratification is completely destroyed. Right? That's an important thing. Of course, it also means if you want to maintain your material attachment to sense gratification, don't associate with pure devotees. You know, like Rupa Goswami says, you know, if you all want to maintain your material attachments, don't go down to the bank of the Jamuna and see that blue boy, you know, playing the flute and standing in his threefold bending form. Because if you do, you're going to lose interest in them. Right? Chapter 12 summarizes questions and answers. Sri Krishna finishes answering Sri Uddhava's question 11:15 from the previous chapter regarding qualities and activities of the true devotees up to verse 15. And upon Uddhava's expressing doubts in verse 16, Sri Krishna explains how to perceive his omnipotence by accepting and worshipping a spiritual master. Right, so this is the, what do you call it? That continuation of the discussion. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 12th chapter, Krishna glorifies association with devotees and destroying all doubts, explains that the inhabitants of Braja have the most exalted prema. Sardartha Darshini 11:12:1. So that'll be the confidential point, is that association with devotees, and then of devotees, the inhabitants of Braja, they have the highest platform. So that's what's good. The association of saintly devotees destroys the soul's attachment to material life and is capable of bringing even the Supreme Lord, Krishna, under one's control. Neither yoga, Shankya philosophy, ordinary religious duties, study of scriptures, austerities, renunciation, works of Ishta and Purtam, charity, vows, fasting, worship of the deity, secret mantras, visiting of holy places, nor adherence to any other major or minor regulative principles can affect the same result. Means they'll all purify, you'll all be elevated, but they won't give this effect of destroying attachment to material life. Only bhakti will, by the association of the pure devotees. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. That's why you see, that's the specialty. Krishna sending Uddhava to Braja. Then you see what is that full surrender. Because otherwise in Dwarka, they're surrendered. Right? So their full surrender is there, but the full surrender of the Braja Bastis is even greater. So Uddhava being the best in Dwarka, then he can appreciate this. Right? Because being right at the top there, then he's close to the bottom of the other. You understand? So he'll be able to see that. Others, then they're right in the middle, and so for them, that is the perfect, but Uddhava can appreciate both places. So it's rare you have devotees that are able to do that. But you do have. Like that. But it's not that they don't, if they hear about it, they don't appreciate. Like we see when the all the devotees went to Kurukshetra for the eclipse. You know, so the Dwarkavasis were there, then because they're of the same family, then the Brajavasis also came. You know, because it's the thing to do, and then when they heard Krishna and Balaram were going to be, they came. So then, you know, everyone saw Krishna and all this and that, and then they all go and sit in their different groups. You know, so then the... you know, all the ladies come and sit together. You know, and then Draupadi asks the queens, how did they get married to Krishna? And then each one of them goes through their story. And so at that point, it's like all the ladies are there. So it's not just Draupadi and these queens like that. You know, even you say that, the queens means all 16,108, you know, whatever it is. So all the ladies are there. And so when they hear these stories, they're impressed by their devotion and everything like that. Their surrender, their moods, like this. And so they all appreciate. That's the meaning of rasik. They can appreciate rasa. So whatever rasa someone's performing, it's actual bona fide rasa with Krishna, it's appreciated. That's why we don't take too kindly to this idea is, oh, we are only interested in, you know, Braja Bhakti and in that, only the gopis, and in that, only Radharani's group, and only in that, then like this. And so other things we don't want to listen to it. There's no taste. That's not a rasik. It absolutely is not. It may be one's favorite aspect of rasa. But to say the others, there's no taste. That's not a rasik. Rasik is able to taste.
That's sick.
Sick. Whatever. So, does that make sense? But within that, you have just like, let's say, someone who appreciates food, fine food, can appreciate any kind of nicely cooked food. But it doesn't mean they don't have their favorite. Right? Does that make sense? If you only like your favorite food and that's it, how can you call yourself a connoisseur? You understand? So a rasik means rasa is appreciated. Even Vaikuntha rasa will be appreciated. Just Goloka rasa will be appreciated more. And of Goloka rasa, then Gokula rasa. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mahaprabhu asks Adhutacharya to recite the Dhruv Maharaj pastime 100 times.
Which one?
Dhruv Maharaj pastime. Not some Rasila pastime 100 times.
Yeah, yeah. Because the point is just that surrender and how because Krishna appreciates how the devotee is making that effort. So the effort Dhruv Maharaj is making, then that's something very special, very endearing. You know, you have a 5-year-old kid who's willing to leave his home to go search out God. No matter what it is, he's a 5-year-old. What do you want? But that he's able to do that, and because of that sincerity, he meets Narad Muni. And Narad Muni then instructions. And so then it's a very, you know, it's very special like that. Just how he's fixed, how he understands there's nothing in the material world. Right? Because he started with Bhakti Mr. Karma. Right? But then he ends up with pure Bhakti. In every age there are demons, monsters, birds, and animals who are in the modes of passion and ignorance. And there are also human beings in the categories of businessmen, women, workers, outcasts, and so on. Right? So these ones have been mentioned. So then we're the on so, and so on. It's outside this. Right? Who cannot study the Vedic scriptures? Nevertheless, by the purifying effect of the association of devotees, they may all achieve the supreme abode of the personality of Godhead. Whereas without such saintly association, even those very seriously endeavoring in yoga, shankhya, study, charity, vows, and practice of the renounced order of life may remain incapable of attaining the supreme personality of Godhead. So this turns the whole idea that material competence and all the aspects of religion and all these values, that the competence in that, that's sort of the real value, gets shown that it's, that's not the actual thing, it's simply devotion. These other things are valuable by your nature to engage. Now, when it comes to knowledge, is there anyone in Dwarka that has more technical knowledge than Uddhava? No, can't be. He studied from Brihaspati, right? So what he knows and all that, just like when they were discussing when the, Maharaj, how you say, they've heard from the imprisoned kings of Jarasandha, right? And then they hear of the Rajasuya sacrifice. So now what to do? Because both of them are something that need to be attended to immediately. Rajasuya sacrifice is going to do now, so you have to go and make arrangements. But at the same time is that these kings are there, suffering, you have to take care of that. So what to do? Everyone has a different opinion. So then what's done at the end? Ask Uddhava. And then Uddhava gives something that, well, means you have to take care of the Rajasuya because that is, you know, your dear friend and devotee, Maharaj Yudhishthira. This is a great, you know, pious work. But at the same time is to accomplish that, you have to have control over all, acceptance of all the kings. Right? So that means Jarasandha is not going to accept. Jarasandha is the one who's imprisoned the kings. So to have the Rajasuya sacrifice, you have to do something about Jarasandha. And doing something about Jarasandha, that will free the kings. Right? So instead of going to the kings, he goes to Dwarka, and then after meeting everyone, then to prepare for Rajasuya, they have to go out and conquer all the directions. So then they go to Jarasandha. And that frees the kings. Right? So Uddhava is able to come up with that. So using it in Krishna's service, then it becomes something very nice that enhances the pastimes. Right? But just it on its own, it's not that it makes devotional service special. Does that make sense? You use it for Krishna, great. But it's engaging your nature in Krishna's service, that's the actual thing. Not that, no, I have to learn this, I have to learn that, then only I can, no. That's the thing, devotional service being independent, it's not that you don't need something else to start. It can immediately start. That's the special.
A difficulty is that we always have a tendency to judge, you know, devotional service, devotees, and everything according to our own.
Yes. By your own conditioning, by your own concept of right and wrong. But that's what's being brought out is that, no, right and wrong is defined by its connection to Krishna. So that means everything can be looked at, but you have to be able to show its connection to Krishna. Not just, oh, but if this is wrong, you can't do devotional service. That's not showing the connection. That's showing our particular conditioning. It may be correct, but it's showing our conditioning, not the connection to Krishna. Right? Connection to Krishna is, why does Krishna want it to be like that? Is that so? And then that includes so much philosophy, which then when drops things out of passion, ignorance up to goodness. And then in mode of goodness, you can't get your bile moving. If you can't get your bile moving, it's not going to digest lunch, and so you're not going to be very happy about that. So in other words, if one's attached to political positions and issues, then working in the mode of goodness is it satisfying, because you can't get up and yell and scream and wave your arms about, pound on the table, and about it. So for someone in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance have no substance. But unfortunately, for those influenced by passion and ignorance, goodness has no substance. And unless you come in contact with pure devotional service, then goodness, passion, and ignorance, only they seem like substance, then pure goodness doesn't have substance. But if you're situated in pure goodness, then anything in the modes has no meaning. So since Krishna is beyond the modes, and that's the natural position of the living entity, so that liberated position, being beyond the modes, that's actually where substance lies. And anything within the modes, that's being like the example of being in a dream state. So, yeah. So we're not used to hearing this kind of stuff, because we're generally, this will be called hard preaching. So this is just called facts, you know, because people nowadays are into truth like that. So that's the point. When they say they want to know facts and truth, they want to know something to gossip about, something that could be politically or economically used like that. Not what is truth, meaning how does it connect to Krishna. Because then that kind of takes all the fizz out of the whole. You know, what's the fun in that? The young damsel of the Vraja, ignorant of the true identity of Lord Krishna Chandra, considered him to be their paramar who would give them pleasure. Yet, by the power of their constant association with Krishna, Sri Krishna, they attain to the supreme absolute truth, which even great demigods like Lord Brahma cannot achieve, right? And he knows basically whatever there's to know in the universe, he knows it, as far as, you know, your standard knowledge goes. The young damsels, the young women of Vrindavan displayed such deep attachment to Lord Krishna that their minds, which were overflowing with the ecstasy of being with him, perceived an entire night spent in his company as just a fraction of a second. Right? So even later when they're talking about it, the whole time they're with Krishna, the whole time he's in Braja, they'll just consider that a fraction of a second. However, when Akrura took Sri Krishna along with Baladeva to Mathura, the gopis then thought each night without him to be equal to the duration of a millennia of the demigods. Being tormented by separation from Lord Krishna, they could not imagine anything that could give them satisfaction other than his return. This is the incomparable excellence of the gopis' pure love of God. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, after imparting these instructions to Uddhava, advised that for the sake of attaining the absolute truth, Uddhava should give up all consideration of religion and irreligion as promulgated in the Shrutis and Smritis, and instead take shelter of the example of the women of Vrindavan. Because it's about, it pleases Krishna, that's the thing to do. Right? Does that make sense? So, the Shastras are saying this pleases Krishna, then the important thing is that pleases Krishna. Are they saying this doesn't please? Then they're not doing, because it doesn't. But it's not because Shastra says, it's because it pleases Krishna. Shastra is the authority, of course. You understand? But it's not based on the principle, if it's a rule, it's based on that it actually pleases Krishna, the person, or not. So,
Maharaj, can we not say that whatever pleases Krishna should be based on the Shrutis?
Whatever bases Krishna should be based on it. It is. The point is whatever pleases Krishna, that's what's in the scriptures. But the point is since you have so many varieties of personalities and modes, then it's written so that each person can be attracted to that aspect of Krishna that they're attracted to. But whether they want to know Krishna or not, then that's also part of it. They want to know Krishna, then they'll see through the proper, you know, devotional mood. If they don't want to see Krishna, then they simply see Krishna as ritual or as sense gratification or as liberation or as music or whatever it is that is their thing that they're into. And so it's written, but actually all those things are meant for serving Krishna. They're all part of Krishna. Does that make sense? So the technical points are just how it will apply to Krishna. Like you see in one of the times when Krishna Yeah, one of the time when Krishna came to visit Srimati Radharani, he dressed himself up as a girl. So it's not that, I don't think it's not the Prema Samputa one.
Yes. One is Prema Samputa.
But I think there's another one which is Chamakar Chandrika.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's that or I'm mixing it. Whatever. But the point is that she's from the heavenly planets. So that means their knowledge, the technical knowledge of music is very good. Right? And so then, I'm not sure if Lalita asked or Radharani asked or something, they thought that, you know, while they're there, because they're just exchanging. No, it must have been because they were talking. Prema Samputa, they don't talk in the beginning, right? The gopis talk, but Krishna as the Devi doesn't talk, no?
Yeah, they speak on her behalf.
Yeah, but for a long time. But this one is they're coming in, they're talking and interacting and all that. And so then they ask if they'll sing, you know, a particular raga in a particular tal, I think, in Gandharva Grama. So that will be something very, very difficult that demigods could do. And so it's a nice thing. So they ask if she could do that. But then somehow another discussion goes off and this and that, and I think they decide to, you know, give this, you know, they want to take care of this gopi nicely, I mean, whatever it is, this Devi nicely, so they decide to give her a bath or stuff, and they find out it's Krishna. And then they say, you know, no one's buying your disguise. And then he says, well, we'll see who buys this disguise, and then dresses himself back up nicely, then goes into Jatila, and then falls on the ground and wailing, and like that, you know, right around the old childhood friend, and now I come back, and now she won't have anything to do with me, won't talk to me, and this and that, I feel so bad, and this and that. And so Jatila gets angry, and then comes into Radharani and says, you know, you're behaving badly with this girl. You know, so it's my order that, you know, she stays the night here, she stays with you. In fact, she's going to sleep in your bed with you tonight, and you're going to get, you know, show that you're, you know, old relationship and stop ignoring her. You know, so all the gopis are shocked, right? Jatila's saying this. Krishna has that little grin on his face, like, see? People buy things. Yeah. So. Yes. So these things are going on. So that's the whole position, is that these technical things, they're just a part in their pastime. It's not that they're musicians and sit around talking about this and that and so many things, you know, like, was it Ali Akbar playing a raga in 1 3/4 beats? You know what I'm saying? You know, like we have, you know, 1 2 3 4, you know, 1 2 3 4, 1 2 3 4, you know, or we do Das Bahira that has, you know, 8 beats or this or that. No, this is 1 3/4 beat. So that means it keeps moving, you know, where the beat falls and, you know, stuff like that. Musicians sit around and talk. We're not talking that. That's called mundane. Here it's just part of what they do. It just adds to the rasa. That's what knowledge is for. So when we think that the knowledge itself is going to improve devotional service, we have no idea what we're talking about. Right? So that knowledge in connection with Krishna, that has value. But material knowledge, then it itself has, how will that improve Krishna? Because it already is Krishna. Right? But you don't know that. So how can it improve devotional service? So, yeah. Okay. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, after imparting these instructions to Uddhava, advised that for the sake of attaining the absolute truth, Uddhava should give up all consideration of religion and irreligion as promulgated in the Shrutis and Smritis, and instead take shelter of the example of the women of Raja. Okay. Shloka Sharanam. So, and this is just the beginning of the Uddhava Gita. We're in 12 of 16, which is in section 1, so I think it goes to, what, like 30 or something? So, it gets better. Summary of verses, 1 to 15, the effect of sadhu sangha. 16 to 24, the effect of worshipping the guru. verses 1 to 15. The effect of Sadhu Sangha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Astanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice nonviolence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances and dig wells, plant trees and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control." So that's the whole point of the surrender. If you surrender to Krishna, that brings Krishna under one's control. Krishna, he likes working under the direction of the devotees. Because why is he doing that? Only because of that affection. Because if that affection is not there, it's not because, oh, he has so much knowledge. Oh, he knows the Veda, that's why. Because Krishna is the Veda. So it's because of devotion. So all these things that Krishna is saying, it's got to be about me and this and that. But what's the effect of that? Right? You're giving up some mundane thing that's temporary. And you're getting the Supreme Absolute Unlimited Truth. Right? That you can personally interact with. Right? Does that make sense? So, what's being offered is unlimitedly greater than what we're giving up. Right? But at the same time, as for us, being so small, it seems very big what we're giving up. But what we're gaining is so much greater. Does that make sense?
We're so illusioned into thinking that we've already surrendered. And then there was no more impetus to go any further, then we've got a big problem.
That's why it says you always associate with advanced devotees. Because then you're always inspired that there's more you can do. See, because once surrendered, that's good, but there's always more surrender. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then, of all the aspects of surrender, then the residents of Vrindavan are the highest, and of those, then the gopis. So surely we can't think our surrender's on that same platform. Right? So then, by association, then you start to see that it moves, that there's more we could do, more we could surrender.
So then this association, which we get in the form of books also, of the acharyas, like Prabhupada and previous acharyas. So acharyas in the books plus someone outside also is necessary. It's a combination of both, right?
The point is the combination of both the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat is that to make sure that you understand the book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat's there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because otherwise we may come up with our own ideas.
Mm-hmm. I mean, speculation.
Hmm? Yes. Speculation. But it's just there. But you also see the example in a context connected with us. Because I remember once a conversation where it was brought up about, you know, we have to follow Varnashram and the duties and all that. So what Varnashram mentions about administration and the kings, those things we have to be able to apply. And then the one devotee just said, no, but, you know, we can't wear crowns and walk around with the sword, so how can we follow Varnashram?
It's ridiculous.
Huh?
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but they were serious. That's the sad part. And heads in the room were nodding in agreement. You know, so. Yeah, so it's just a matter of, yeah. It's a problem. So that's why then you see examples of. We see example here, but then we see in the context. Because Bhagavatam, technically, could say that's enough. The Chaitanya Charitamrita then shows application of Bhagavatam into the context of our practices. Does that make sense? And then with that, then we see what Prabhupada is doing, then we see what the other senior devotees are doing. And so all these things, then it makes the information given, the knowledge given, or the directions given in Bhagavatam then relevant. So, In every yuga, many living entities entangle in the modes of passion, and ignorance gain the association of my devotees. Right? So, we're saying it's beyond the mode of passion and ignorance, right? But, in every yuga, these unqualified individuals, they've gained the association of pure devotees. Thus, such living entities as the daityas, rakshasas, birds, beasts, gandharvas, apsaras, nagas, siddhas, charanas, guhyakas, vidyadharas, as well as such lower class human beings as the vaishyas, shudras, women's, and others. Right? Remember, we fit in the others category here. We're able to achieve my supreme abode, at least many of us. Right? Dhritarasura. Dhritarasura, Prahlad Maharaj, and others like them also achieved my abode by association with my devotees, as did personalities such as Rishabharva, Bali Maharaj, Banasura, Maya, Vibhishana, Sugriva, Hanuman, Jambavan, Gajendra, Jayatu, right? Gajendra's an elephant, Jayatu's a bird, Hanuman's a monkey, Sugriva's also another monkey, right? So Vibhishana is a demon, Maya's a, you know, demon, he's a Danava, right? He's not even a Daitya. Right? Vibhishana will be a daitya. Maya is a danava. You know, I say. So, Rishabharva is also the king of the danavas. Like that.
Which is this pastime that
Maya danava
received?
The way he sees that he performed that service to please Krishna and Arjuna.
Okay, that,
like
okay.
That, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just. Tuladhara, Dharma, Vyadha. Kubja, the gopis of Vrindavan, and the wives of the Brahmins, who are performing sacrifice. And so all these different groups, then they all attain Krishna. So they're all coming from these groups that are not that ideal. Right? Does that make sense? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Four verses. 3-6. Show that association of devotees brings the Lord under control, either secondarily or significantly, giving examples like Bana and the gopis. There are persons with mixed bhakti and pure bhakti. By association with persons with mixed bhakti, some persons brought the Lord under control in a secondary way. By association with persons with pure bhakti, some persons brought the Lord under control significantly. That means personally he'll get involved. But otherwise, secondarily, then he will make arrangements. Does that make sense? Means one's working in the secondary, but you're connecting it to the Lord. So within that secondary, then there'll be reciprocation. But you see that those who, in pure devotion, then that brings significantly, because that means Krishna as a person is brought under control. Yeah? No?
It's not necessary.
Does that make sense? It's bringing out another angle of that Krishna reciprocates as you surrender. So if you're surrendering in the secondary aspects through those, he'll reciprocate through them. You surrender in the primary, then he'll reciprocate there. Does that make sense? So because, let's say, like the gopis, they've surrendered to him personally. Not because they're there with him, because Kamsa was also there with Krishna. Right? You know, in other words, how you say, Krishna had to beat submissive, you know, into him, right? And so then he reciprocates. So it's just another angle, because we're always generally looking at, okay, we're here, Krishna's there, we have to surrender. But here Krishna's bringing the other side, is that he gets controlled by those who surrender. But the point is him as his material energy, that's not significant. That's secondary. You know, the person follows the rules and regulations of money, gets money. So Krishna's, he's getting Krishna. But it's secondary. Does that make sense? So this, within devotion, they're getting a secondary result, that there's some element there, but you see then there's that primary, where he himself, personally, is controlled by them.
No? I'm just thinking that you know, four kinds of liberation that Vaishnavas accept. it could be both. It could be secondary or it could be primary, when Krishna is the primary element.
No, but it's the person within that. When you say on the same planet, that why will it say it's that liberation? It's not generally we don't accept it, but they're not unacceptable. It's just that it's not a focus, because then it's about being on the planet rather than being with Krishna, serving Krishna. Having the same opulence is about how that facility rather than serving Krishna. Does that make sense? Like the cowherd boys have the same opulence, right? But that, and that's what makes them equals. But it's about interacting with Krishna. It's not about, you know, hey, you're opulent, I'm opulent, aren't we cool? You know what I'm saying? It's not that kind of mood.
Yeah.
So there's a slight difference there. Like that. In other words, the primary can go on in that secondary environment, but it's not about the secondary. That's why we're not that enthusiastic about it. Does that make sense? Before their birth, Dhrita and Prahlad had the association of Narada. Vrishaparva is well known in the Puranas as a devotee of Vishnu, who gave up his mother as soon as he was born and was raised by sages. Because Vrishaparva was the king, it's his daughter who is Devayani. No. Sarmishta. His daughter Sarmishta.
Devayani is Shukracharya's daughter.
Who? Devayani, yes, but Bali had association of Prahlad. When Bana's arms were cut off, he got the association of compassionate Shiva. Maya, in building the assembly hall, got the association of the Pandavas. Vibhishana got the association of Hanuman. Sugriva, Hanuman, and Jambavan got the association of Lakshmana. Gajendra, in his previous life, had the association of Narada. Jatayu had the association of Garuda, and Dasarath. The merchant, or Tuladhara, is famous in Mahabharata. His association is unclear, but it appears that the story is famous. Anyone knows the Tuladhara story?
No.
I don't know. Dharma Vyadha was a hunter. In his previous birth as a Brahma Rakshasa, he got the association of a devotee king, according to Varaha Puran. Okay, so he's a hunter now. In his previous birth with a Brahma Rakshasa, who got the association of a devotee king. Right? Life's complicated, right? Harivamsa tells how Kubja and others got the association of Narada in a previous birth. The gopis, who were previously sages of Dandakaranya forest, had plentiful association with devotees in that life. In their life as gopis, they got the association of Nityasiddha gopis, right? So then it's always about association. So if this is not appreciated about association, we won't take advantage. Right? What was the difference between, on the first night of the Rasa dance, when Krishna played his flute, who went and who got held back? Right? It's this point. Those who went either were the eternal associates, because they're definitely going, or those who had the association of the eternal servants of Krishna, his associates, and therefore had attained that kind of attraction or love for Krishna. Does that make sense? And the ones that didn't are the ones that didn't get that Nityasiddha association. Because they were happy with the secondary aspects of their family life. Hmm? Yes?
So,
maybe you don't remember that story?
Yeah.
In other words, the point is this, it's all about association with pure devotees. That's the whole process. If that's there, all the other angas will work nicely. Because in the association of devotees, you hear, you chant, you remember, you're engaged in activities, you see their surrender, their friendship, their servitorship, right? Their mood. So that's then how things work. So the association of devotees is the crucial thing. Right? Does that make sense? So even if we have so many other ideas, then the point is getting together with other devotees, then that is an association of devotees. So in that way, it's nice. But if the topic's not about pure devotional service or that connection too, then there becomes a distraction. Right? So you're associating with devotees, but you're not associating in the best way possible. Does that make sense?
One must desire for the association of devotees.
Only you must desire, yes. Because if you don't desire, then how it's going to happen? If you're not interested, why will Krishna? He says, as you surrender, he reciprocates. He's very clear about that. So if you don't desire, then from your own angle, it won't come up. If somehow or another those pure devotees are making an effort to make that contact, then it'll work. But then that's by their mercy. But even if we desire it, it's still up to Krishna. And then when that happens, so we desire to chant the holy name. We desire taste for the holy name. We desire the association. If you look at the songs of the Acharyas, this is what they talk about.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Yes. Maharaj, when we have the right attitude to serve the devotee,
pure devotee is rare.
But how are you defining pure devotee?
And that's not my question.
So okay. Pure devotee means that they have that intention that they want to please Guru and Krishna. Does that make sense? So pure devotee can be on any level. It's just that they have that pure intent. So you find those devotees that, at least in a particular environment, they have that mood. You know what I'm saying? So you have, let's say, to find someone who's always consistently on that platform, that might be rare to find. But let's say in kirtan, so many devotees, they really like kirtan. They're really absorbed in kirtan. Now, outside of that, they may or may not be. You know, so absorbed. There's someone else that might be, you know, when they're doing some service or puja or preaching or, you know what I'm saying, or doing some service for devotees, or someone likes to cook for Krishna and they do that with that kind of enthusiasm. So associate with devotees based on where that pure kind of determination is there. And that means you follow in the footsteps of Yudhishthira, not Duryodhana. You follow the footsteps of Duryodhana, even people like Prahlad Maharaj are not pure. There's something wrong with them. Like that. So the point is if you want it, it will be there. And if you're saying, no, but nobody's pure, no one's this and that, you won't find. Even they're standing in front of you, you won't know. Is that, yeah. The wives of the brahmanas got the association of messengers of Krishna. The garland makers and betel nut sellers who came from Vraja to Mathura to sell their products. Natives.
Bhagavatam doesn't mention about this association, the wives of the
Bhagavatam doesn't mention, so but why is that a problem? This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and so you have a problem.
Then we are doing that particular chapter.
No, but that's why we have the Acharyas.
But it mentioned.
It mentioned.
Because they were waiting for the stories from this. They were going to the market to buy things, and these vendors were telling them about Krishna.
Right, that's right, see? Because to do the yagyas, you have to have ingredients to run the household, so they would go to the marketplace. Right? So it appears that they're more over near Mathura, these Brahmins. And so then the garland makers and betel nut sellers came from Braja to Mathura. Otherwise, where do you sell your goods? You always hear about the gopis taking their milk products to places where it's a happening. Right? You know, it's not that they take the milk and take it out in the backyard, that's the whole market there. You know, otherwise, how do you have pastimes if they don't take their stuff to market? Right? How can you have the Donakali pastimes, you know, the boat pastimes? How do you have all those if they're not taking their stuff to the market? Right? So, yes.
Some devotees, they make a direct connection in terms of association with those devotees, and then you want to develop your personal relationship with Krishna, so it should be the same kind of relationship. But here from this list, it's not necessarily. It might be this or might be not.
Pure devotion is pure devotion. Then the particular flavor, that's a detail. Right? You know, just like if you're hungry, food is food. And then within that, there may be detail. So the difficulty comes is that the general category is always ignored for just the detail. You know, so you were mentioning in Bhav Sadhana, then the first thing of Shravana Dasa means understanding we're a servant of Krishna. Like that. So therefore, then, you know, to apply this, then the Braja Bhakti is a generic category for those in Braja. That full surrender. And so that kind of pure unalloyed devotion means everybody else is a pure devotee, but they're a pure unalloyed devotee. That's what makes them different from all the other realms. Means that everybody, if you're in the spiritual world, you're a pure devotee. But Braja is pure unalloyed devotion. That's why all other realms will appreciate their devotion. Is that? Yeah. So that itself is a general category. Then within that, the particular rasa that is attractive, that's a detail. You know what I'm saying? But most go for the detail and say, no, that's the only with that association happens. No, you first have to get Braja Bhakti. Then within Braja Bhakti, then you can deal in that detail. But otherwise, what's the meaning of dealing in, you know, the cowherd boy's love, but you don't have that full surrender? How will it be that? It will take on the mood of somebody who has that friendship kind of thing, but doesn't have that full surrender. It won't take on Braja Bhakti. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there is the aspect of Swajati. Swajati means those who appreciate Krishna consciousness you can relate to. But in other words, you can have a conversation with them and not have to be, you know, tiptoeing like through a mind, you know, in Cambodia or something like that, a minefield. At any moment you can get blown up because you use the wrong word, wrong tone of voice, wrong phrase, wrong this, wrong that, wrong everything. It's just a matter of time. Then that's not Swajati. Swajati means what kind of areas you appreciate, then you can discuss in those areas. What values you have, then those are the same. But it's not that that's a superior devotional perspective. It may be for you, but it's not necessarily for others. And so those who are like-minded there, then you spend time with them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. So it's not that it has to be a particular rasa or this or that. It's a matter of a particular appreciation of devotional service of Krishna. And then within that, there might be more and more specific. Does that make sense? You know, so of all the people who you like hanging out with, then, you know, there's a general group, and within that, then there's a few that are important. Within that, then there's somebody. But it's not going to be a lot of people. How many intimate associates did Lord Chaitanya have? You have to... Yeah. Right? That's it. But how many associates did he have? You understand? So this idea is that it has to be... No, it's not... Volume isn't important. Quality is important. Does that make sense for that? But otherwise, that's the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's mission. And then we see of the founder Acharya that we also have quantity. You know, so you can have a program and thousands of devotees go and the kirtans and that, and it's all nice. You know, so you're there in the kirtan, but, you know, you can sit anywhere, or you might want to sit in a particular group, but it doesn't matter because it's kirtan. And now afterwards, when you go and take prasad, you might be more selective. You know, or when you leave, who you're going to talk to about how nice it was. You know what I'm saying? Because you're talking about how, you know, he really loved the kirtan and how he's doing it. Somebody else says, no, it's the dancing. It's the dancing. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be there's different things. You know, or the guys, you know, hey, what, you check out the tattoos on that mridanga player? And that. Yeah, that's another group again. So then you that's within that. Oh, wow, it's termite season again. That's a termite, a flying one. No, it just means that they, you know, how it says everybody gets their 15 minutes. So this is their 15 minutes. You know, they're an ant. Then they get wings, not two wings, four wings, right? And then they get one night to enjoy them. In the morning, you'll see that there'll be tons of them here, and all their wings are gone and stuff like that. So some of these, they go and start new colonies and that. The Gurukul originally had moats around it, because then with water, they can't get underneath and come to the hill. And then later on, they won't bite. And then later on, I was wondering, why do we have termites? Because they fly in. The guys couldn't walk in. That's true, but they fly in. So. There they are. See here. Right. There must be a place around here where they're coming out. You ever seen them come out? There's just tons of them come out. So if you know where it is, you can dig that up and find the queen. They're not so good at flying, but they only have this one day. Right? They come out now, and in the morning they're finished. So basically, it's how you say, pure spontaneity. It's just the eagerness to fly. But you can see they're not actually so good at it.
So, in regards to the association devotees, I've known very senior advanced devotees or pure devotees. The aspect of to hear from them is of primary importance. Let's say even if one is in one association and due to one's own limited ability to comprehend or understand, there's other aspects of that association.
It doesn't matter. It has effect.
Yeah.
It always has effect. You know, it's like we may understand the medicine or not, but it works. It's not that only doctors, by taking this medicine, then it works. It's anybody takes the medicine, but it's prescribed by someone who knows, like that, it works. So that's the thing. And it's not just only the senior, you know, like that devotees. It's any devotee who's sincere in Krishna consciousness. That's valuable association. And then you appreciate then how they're serving, how they're dedicated, how they're like that. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. The persons I have mentioned did not undergo serious studies of the Vedic literature, nor did they worship great saintly persons, nor did they execute severe vows or austerities, right? Great saintly persons. Like that. It wasn't about that. It's just devotees. Here, garland makers, betel nut sellers. Right? Yeah. Nor did they execute severe vows or austerities. Simply by association with me and my devotees, they achieved me. Right? So that's the whole point. Association is the main thing. Then, according to nature, you engage in all these other aspects. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, they attain me not by other processes, but by mixed or pure bhakti, which arose from association with devotees. Right? So they may even started with mixed bhakti, But because they've associated with devotees, it comes to the platform of purity. But it's through association that these things happen. Right? So do we see that we're running into the similar kind of thing that happened in ninth canto? Okay, now I got it together. Then Krishna again turns it on its head. Right? Is that because he's trying to point out it's just surrender to him through the association of devotees. Or he could say in the association of devotees, surrendering to Krishna. That's what it is. There's nothing else. The other things are all useful, but they're useful as kitchen paraphernalia is useful for cooking. But it's the cooking. Right? So just when we get it down, the right kind of pan, the right kind of knife, the right kind of this and that, because there is a place that's perfect for everything. Right? You know, it's just like, you know how when you have, what do you call it? Buzzers? You know, hair buzzers and like that? And then they always have little brushes. Right? And those brushes don't always work very good or this. So once I was in barber supply shop. So all they have is all the stuff that barbers use. And so I asked him about a brush. And then he brought out this one brush. And he said, this is the best brush in the world. Right? And so whatever. So you take that brush, you use it, and it's good. Then after a few years, when it runs out, you go back to the shop, but that shop doesn't exist anymore. So you go a few more years and ask somebody else, is there a shop like this? And then they say, oh, look around. And then you give them the old brush. And you say, you know, ask them if they have one of these or that. They go to the shop, right? And then they say, do you have one of these? And he says, oh, we only stock these because they're the best in the world. So that one place in the world, I think it's Belgium, they make the best brush for buzzers. You know, and somewhere else that they, you know, is this kind of knife, someone else this particular kind of pot, another place it's this kind of this. Does that make sense? So with time you learn all these different things. And so now you think, now I know cook, now I'm happy to cook. But that's not actually the point. It's the cooking that's the real thing. The other things, if you have them, great, it helps. But it's not what makes the cooking. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you make the thing, I have this frying pan, now I'll be a fabulous cook. No. If you're a fabulous cook, you'll be able to use it nicely. If you're not a fabulous cook, maybe it just won't be burnt. But it doesn't mean that it will be nice. Okay? Or it may be burnt, but it won't stick. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It may be terrible, but it didn't stick to the pan.
Step up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a step up, yes. It's still, what we're meaning, it's not about that. So that surrender to association of devotees, and in that, being inspired to serve Krishna, surrender to Krishna, that's the core. So that's what Krishna says. Now he'll talk about the confidential aspect. Because otherwise, before we talked about the different sadhana and the techniques that are there, which are all important. But the actual point is the surrender. Like he gave all the qualities, 28 qualities, and then Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur pointed out, but this quality is the main one. And it's the surrender. Right? Yeah. They did not study the Vedas, and they did not worship great sages who understood the meaning of the Vedas, right? So that's what we're meaning here. So whether I say, no, but Narad Muni's a great, but he's a devotee. So he's not talking about approaching the great sages who study the Vedas and know all the technicalities, who are great scholars, like that's not that. In order to get knowledge of the Vedas, they did not perform vows or austerities. They attained me by association with devotees and bhakti, matsangat. Association of devotees is equivalent to association with me. Footnote 16. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Bhagavad Gita 13:26. So We're in the technical chapters now, so we see it'll be reflected here.
So let's ask here in the Gita.
Although not begin to worship by hearing from others. We hear. That's the whole point of the preachers, because it was mentioned before. Oh no, but only advanced. No, anybody who can make the Prabhupada's teachings relevant to us, that's the association. Right? Either by instructing us, or by doing things together and being inspiring, or by interacting, and so that then we start to think about it. Like someone asks you a question, you take it for granted. Then you ask the question, you have to actually think about it, and so that will make you more. Is that? Yeah.
So sometimes a flaw is there of thinking that, I really need super advanced association before I minimize or the importance of.
Of others. So you won't actually see. Then if you define that, then who is actually super advanced? Right? Because it's a matter of, if you appreciate devotees, then you'll be able to see that devotional element. Then you can take advantage of any kind of association. Though Krishna may arrange very specific. But if one finds fault, then one actually can't find that association. It just doesn't exist. I mean, Prabhupada's there, and people are, would rather spend time with this uptown yogi. Like that. So Prabhupada heads down to the Lower East Side. It's not that it's always appreciated. Prabhupada stayed at, the Agarwal's house when he first went there. But it's not that they took advantage of, pure devotional service. But, by being there and that, with the blessings, I'm sure that they've so much nice Agyata Sukriti is there. But I've never heard that they've actually developed Shraddha. I'm not sure. Anybody knows? I haven't heard. But, what I'm saying? So it's not that you can't miss out. I mean, Krishna's there and people don't think he's God. They think when he goes into the arena of sacrifice in Mathura, some people think, they're just fools, they're kids, they're, like that. They don't see them as anything important. So that's the point, is that a variety will see in a variety of ways. So it's only by Krishna's mercy you can actually appreciate devotees. Otherwise you can't. Because otherwise, if we use our intelligence, we'll never be able to find suitable association. Right? It's about having that faith in the process and in those following. That intelligence now will be able to discern, because that will be given by Krishna. Where we think, no, my mundane intelligence, I'm smart, I can figure out who's there. It's like that story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That this big, big scholar came to him, said, I want to discuss about devotional service. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, yes, there's the perfect person to discuss with you. And he told him a name. He says, you speak with him. So the man was, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's reputation and all this, and so he thought, okay, he's recommended somebody very, he knows who I am, and he's recommended a very specific person. So he goes out and they ask, where's this person? And then they all, point in a particular direction. He keeps walking and it gets farther and farther away from the main temple and everything like that. And then, he said, oh, he's over there. So they go down, he goes down to the end there, and now he's at the Goshala. Right? So it's all, cow dung everywhere and this and that. And then, he sees someone there, he calls him over, says, I'm looking for this person. And the person's, covered in cow dung head to toe, right? So he wouldn't make it as somebody very advanced in Monty Python, right? So, therefore, then, he says, yes, I'm that person. Right? So now the guy's like, freak, why would I be talking? And he's there shoveling cow dung, right? And so he's saying, why would he send me to this guy? Because he knows devotional service. He knows Krishna, because he's there shoveling the cow dung. He's willing to do that for the month. And so that's appreciated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he knows. Right? But at the same time, it also shows that you think you're a big scholar, and because of that, you'll understand that no, it's someone who practically serves. He'll understand. So, Sri Krishna continued, "The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the gopis, cows, unmoving creatures such as the twin Arjuna trees, animals, living entities with stunted consciousness such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kaliya, all achieve the perfection of life by unalloyed love for me and thus very easily achieve me." Oh, there's so many of them. Okay, so. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "The inhabitants of Vraja are most special. By bhavas, without mixture of karma or jnana, without desires, by bhakti yoga, with madhurya, vatsalya, shakya, and dasya bhavas, they attained me. The gopis attained me with madhurya rasa. The cows attained me by vatsalya rasa." Okay. "The mountains like Govardhan attain me by Shakyarasa. The animals, the trees, the shrubs, though unintelligent, the snakes of Kaliya, attain me with Dasyarasa. The Nityasiddha devotees attain me after expressing Purvarag. Attraction and separation before meeting the Lord during earthly pastimes, though they have associated with Him in previous pastimes. Without beginning, the Nityasiddha devotees are already in possession of the Lord with their pure bhakti. Otherwise, the word Nityasiddha would be meaningless." Right, so it's just a pastime, again, taking up that. And so the taste of this purva rag is so nice that every pastime, you know, when they have the Boma Lila, they go through that again. And then attain, because that's so nice. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense? No?
I have a question.
A question, okay. What's this question?
So Mahaprabhu says, Jiva Swarupahaya Krishna Nitya Das.
Yes.
Means we have an identity forever.
Yes.
It's always there.
But the Nitya Das means that we're always servants.
Yeah.
That's the specifics, what it means, is that the Jiva by nature inherently is a servant of Krishna. Just like all his other. Means Krishna's master, all others are servants, right? What is it? Eka Kale. Yeah, that one. So you take it in that generic sense. Then you can apply, you know, that yes, you have a natural specific position. But the point is we can take advantage of that by knowing we're servant. And so just that point of service, what are we given as service? You know, as servants, what can we do in our position? So it's not that you have to actually know what is your eternal relationship to act within this capacity. That's what we're saying. It's the second stage. The first stage is to have actually that mood of service. The second stage may be some specific aspect of service. Right? And then the third stage is being exclusively absorbed in Krishna, you know, in samadhi, that brings you to purva rag.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, since you can see where the third platform brings you, the second is quite advanced. So we just started the first with that generic.
So for now, it's enough to know that it is there.
And we're servants. It's natural. So then we can very happily absorb ourselves and everything will be okay. Wow. A lot of variety of bugs. It seems to be the sea. Oh, because it's not too hot, not too cold. So this is like the 2 weeks of super bug season.
Just before Purim, and then yeah. After Purim, it's going to get cold.
Yeah. So this is the time when the tick-tickies get fat. Does that make sense? So that's there. We have that faith in that. That will then take it to the next level, because that's one of the symptoms of someone is situated on bhava, is that conviction that I serve Krishna and Krishna will reciprocate. So there's not that, oh, but what if this? No, he will. Because the point is that everything's him, so why won't he? So, is that good? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandana.